This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you again.
Now, we've had some important jobs figures today, especially with the interest rate announcement coming from the Fed next week. They'll be looking for all indicators. And this one certainly suggests that we're going to get a rate cut next week because it looks like the labor market slowdown has intensified in November.
That's right, Johnny. And to extrapolate this further, you can see it in the market's reaction. You've got the dollar lower today. Most currencies performing strongly against the US dollar today. The 10-year yield is down 0.66% this morning, which would indicate that rate cuts are very likely. We were discussing just before we started that there's really not too much more data that we're going to get outside of the PCE numbers that come out later this week, prior to the Fed makes its decision next Wednesday as to whether or not to cut interest rates. Probabilities are very high right now that you are going to get a rate cut. And also going off that, there's still also a high probability that in the eyes of the bond market that you're going to get another rate cut in January. So we are seeing rates expected to come down, and it is largely in reaction to what has been a softening in the labor market. ADP non-farm employment change this morning came in minus 32,000 jobs compared to a forecasted 5,000 jobs. Now, I want to add some context to this because I was reading just before we hopped on here that specifically companies below 50 employees were actually where a lot of the job losses took place. In fact, above 50 employee jobs at a company, we actually saw net gains in jobs. So I was reading that and I thought it was a really important thing to point out that the smaller businesses, less than 50 companies, seem to be actually letting people go, which accounted for a large reason for why this number came out softer than expected. And I think that as we discussed, we'll talk more about rate cuts in a moment. This was really just another kind of figure to give evidence, to give credence to the more dovish committee members who have been pointing towards weakening labor market as a reason that rate cuts are necessary at this time. Reminder that we did get a better than expected NFP report, but of course that was for the September reading, so that's a little bit backwards looking. And we did get an uptick in unemployment rate to 4.4%. We know that this stuff moves with momentum when it comes to the jobs market. A good jobs market tends to stay strong, and a poor jobs market can actually decelerate. So the Fed is very keyed in on this concept of cutting rates to administer to the jobs market. It is largely expected that if they do continue the rate cut process, that could help into 2026. I can't remember which major financial bank put out this report, but it was a projection on if the Fed cuts interest rates three times by like mid-year of next year or something, they're expecting to get back above 100,000 jobs added monthly. So we'll see if that plays out as planned. And fact check me on that, audience. Please look that up on your own. But I'm just citing off of memory. I believe it was either JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs that put out some sort of projection like this. But the basic idea in economics is that if they can cut interest rates into an economy that's not falling apart, it should boost and help hiring across the states and should kind of bring back more positive jobs figures. That's at least the theory. We'll see what happens.
Meanwhile, the stock market dropped a little bit earlier today because of some news from Microsoft.
That's right. We know that when it comes to the state of the US stock market, it is very much propped up on the excitement around the new technology coming from AI, right? We have all these different AI products coming to market. But one thing that is really important to the AI world is actually cloud infrastructure, AI agents, and things like that, much of which are made by major companies like Microsoft and Amazon and things like that. Well, Microsoft put out something that was really interesting this morning that seems to be scaring or spooking the market specifically. Just to give context to this, we see the NASDAQ down about 0.5% today, which is nothing huge, but what's maybe more interesting here is that the NASDAQ's down 0.5%, the S&P 500 is about flat, and the Dow Jones is actually slightly green on the day, at least at the time of recording this at 9:40 a.m. U.S. Eastern, as context matters, as the U.S. stock market just opened up. But my point with showing you that, or mentioning that, is that tech stocks seem to be leading the downside today in reaction to this. So this is very much a tech story that broke at the start of the day. Here's the context. Multiple divisions at Microsoft have lowered sales growth targets for certain artificial intelligence products after many sales staff missed goals in the fiscal year that ended in June. This was reported by The Information on Wednesday. Now, here's why this matters. If salespeople are missing expectations, as a collective, right? If the sales staff are missing expectations, what that could show is a lack of demand for that product. Obviously, a particular sales rep not hitting goals relative to peers that are, that shows, you know, that's an individual problem. But if a collection of sales staff are unable to hit quotas and they need to actually lower quotas on AI-related stuff, that's a concern. Part of the reason why, a lot of the growth for these big companies, the excitement around all this manufacturing around semiconductors, these big data centers being built, the hype is because there's going to be back-end demand. On the other side of this, there's going to be huge demand for these AI-related products. If there is any slowing in the demand for AI products that's showing up in sales data, that is of major concern to the market, because the whole thing, as we started this conversation around, is built on AI product demand meeting the needs, or meeting the spending, or at least, should ideally exceed substantially the spending that many of these companies are doing in order to build out these AI-related products. So the market is definitely very, very sensitive to this. The other thing that I would add on to this is that the markets currently, the U.S. stock market, especially tech stocks, is priced very expensively. We've had this conversation many times on the podcast, but high valuation does not mean it has to come crashing down tomorrow. But high valuation means high expectations. Any shortcoming in data like this is of a lot of concern to the market, especially the tech-sensitive parts of the market. At this point, however, most of the market is technology in terms of its exposure to it. I think, you know, technology specific stocks make up a huge component of the stock market. However, the stock market itself it requires technology to continue to be strong in order for it to go up. At the size of technology at this point, how built into the infrastructure of the rest of the market it is, tech is imperative to the market holding up okay. So we'll see. We've seen some interesting conversations around rotation into other sectors, but I am still a believer that the market requires technology to perform itself.
Of course, we'll talk again on Friday, Nick, when we will look at the latest core PCE numbers, which, like the ADP numbers from earlier today, will be a very good indicator ahead of the Fed announcement next week as to whether there's going to be a rate cut. I mean, it's all but nailed on, really, isn't it? Unless, of course, we see something extraordinary from those PC numbers, which I very much doubt. What is expected?
Yeah, so I think that the economy in terms of the jobs market, as we discussed earlier, is showing some signs that rate cuts are pretty necessary. When it comes to inflation is definitely not in an ideal spot, but also not in a critical spot. And I think when you look at the jobs market and say, okay, this is sort of getting too close for comfort for the Fed, jobs market is flashing red signs, I think it's just a very obvious, okay, the Fed's going to cut rates in December. I think the bigger question for markets is, you know, as we go into January, we go into March, are they going to follow through with more rate cuts? And from that, we're going to have to keep an eye on inflation. So PCE does matter. We get that number coming out, the forecasted for month over month is 0.2%. We'll also get, I should add, University of Michigan consumer sentiment and inflation expectations on Friday. While those are not necessarily, you know, super critical, as you pointed out, we really don't have that much more data to go off of. So today's ADP number, we can see the reaction in the dollar. The dollar's moving lower. We can see the reaction in precious metals. gold advancing higher. Silver has been on a run to the upside here recently, which we haven't even talked about. Silver is almost at $60 an ounce on the spot price, which is pretty incredible, given that, you know, this year, the silent winner has truly been the precious metals. Gold up, you know, well over 55% on the year. That is pretty incredible. And again, fact check me, listeners, but I saw another post this morning that was showing that over the last 30 years, gold has held up pace very well with the S&P 500, which is pretty phenomenal when you think about it. Gold has had such a, of course, a lot of those gains, a lot of that outperformance has been in recent times with the massive upside move in precious metals. But I think that's signaling to the market that you have rate cuts coming, and you also have concerns about national debt. We didn't even get a chance to talk about this, Johnny. I really am curious to see how the market reacts to this, but we have very high probabilities that Kevin Hassett is likely to be the next Fed chair. The betting market has it around 75% chance that he is going to be Trump's pick, which is straight up very dovish. I mean, he is a true and true Republican dove, and if he is who, you know, Trump is going to want in that spot, or at least the archetype of what Trump is going to want, somebody who's going to push on every possible front for rate cuts. But there's some nuance that I'm sure we will discuss further on the podcast, because if he cuts interest rates but the bond market doesn't like it, long-term interest rates could remain elevated. We're in the U.S., of course, we have 30-year fixed mortgages. Those could remain elevated despite the Fed cutting interest rates. So I think there could be another resurgence of battling between maybe a politically charged Fed chair versus the bond vigilantes. I think that's going to be a really interesting story. And I think you're seeing it in gold running up now. People are saying, you know, or the gold is sort of voting proverbially by moving higher ahead of this, saying, hey, national debts are going to remain elevated. There could be some inflation concerns. It's going to be an interesting next year.
Very interesting indeed. Nick, thank you so much. We'll speak again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.